Yeah, it is. Ezekiel 22, if you got your Bible. Ezekiel 22. You got your Bible with you, Danny? Amen. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the holy and the profane. Ezekiel 22. Now, in the Old Testament, God used prophets to warn His people and to try to keep them right when they were going in the wrong direction. And Ezekiel was a feared prophet. If Ezekiel came into town, people figured God was fixing to do something, and it would scare them. And so they listened when he spoke. Ezekiel 22, I want you, if you will, we'll start with verse 1 in Ezekiel 22. And we'll read through verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. Then say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, The city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made, and thou hast cast thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all countries. Those that be near and those that be far from thee shall mock thee, which are infamous and much vexed. Behold, the princes of Israel, every one, were in thee to their power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised mine holy things, and hast profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood, and in thee they eat upon the mountains, and in the midst of thee they commit lewdness. In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In thee have I taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase. Thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Behold, therefore, I have smitten mine hand at thy dishonest gain which thou hast made, and at thy blood which hath been in the midst of thee. Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. And I will scatter thee among the heathen and disperse thee in the countries, and will consume thy filthiness out of thee. And thou shalt take thine inheritance in thy sight, in thyself, in the sight of the heathen, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Now skip down to verse 23. I'm going to explain this. Just hang on. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion raving in the prow, they have prey, they have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves raving in the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed a stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and to stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. It's going to take a lot of explaining, but hang on. Brother Rudy, would you pray for the sermon tonight? Amen. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. God told Ezekiel, he said, you go and you tell Israel, my people, that I know what's going on. He said they've taken up their pagan culture that's around them. It even went so far as to say that they used their mother and father for a light in the streets. You know what that means? The Romans, Nero himself, would take Christians and they would cover them in oil and tar and they would set them on fire at night to light the streets with the bodies of Christians. And that's what these people were doing with their own mother and father, sacrificing them to pagan gods. And then it talked about adultery. It talked about homosexuality. It talked about incest. It talked about false dealings and crooked business. It talked about worshiping fire and flame and all these things. And see, what had happened is Israel had let all these unbelieving nations come in amongst them, and they had taken up their habits. They'd intermarried with them, and they'd taken up their pagan religions. Now, we don't know much about this stuff in America, because in America, usually you're either Christian or you're not, and there's not a lot of other religions. But even so, the pagan thought, pagan means those who live as animals. They don't even believe in God. They don't even, they'll worship, Romans chapter 1, read it, they worship bugs and birds and beasts, and they're pagan in their living. Marriage means nothing. Sexual sins mean nothing. Drunkenness, drugs, immorality of all kinds, lying, cheating, stealing means nothing to pagans. They just live any way they want to. And so that had infiltrated God's people, who had been taught holiness and they'd been taught cleanness. I'm talking about spiritual cleanness, not just physical cleanness, but separation from sin and idols and things like that. And they'd been taught that, but now they were allowing these people to come in and influence them. So God sent Ezekiel and he said, I want you to warn them what's about to happen, and I want it to be very clear why I'm doing this. Now, I don't know. A lot of people, you'll tell them that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and God destroyed all kind of Old Testament cities, and he'd tell them to go in, you know, and kill everybody, even kill the animals. And people say, well, that's not my God. God's not like that, you know. That's not my God. Well, it's not. Then your God's not the God of the Bible. The Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day. And listen, there is a hell. And God does punish sin and unbelief and paganism and idolatry and all those sins that's going on in the world. God's not asleep. He doesn't wink. But they thought, you know, he hadn't done anything in so long that they must be getting by with it, or maybe God had just changed his mind. Well, he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. Amen? And Jesus said, not one jot nor one tittle would pass away out of his word. Amen? And so they were mixing that particular verse in verse 26. He said they were mixing mine holy things with profane things. Profane things. Things that were when we think profane, we think profanity. And the reason we call it profanity, it's ugly. It's ugly words. It's, when I was a kid, we call it nasty words. It's ugly. It's dirty. It's nasty. It's profanity. Webster, who wrote Webster Dictionary, was a great Christian. And he says, a man that uses profanity is a fool searching for words to express himself because he doesn't have a good vocabulary. And but it's ugly, it's dirty. So when you think of profane, think of ugly, dirty, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally ugly. Have you ever watched something on television and you sit there, you're just kind of shocked it was even on there, and then when you got through, you think, man, I wish I hadn't watched that. Man, that's going to leave a spot in my brain for all night. It was just ugly. It was nasty. Amen? I remember the first time I heard a cuss word on television. First time. Lived over in Rocky Hill Homes. I was 28 years old, probably. First time I heard a cuss word. Now to use God's name on television. God's name in vain on television. Profane. That's profanity, see. And God said, look, you're mixing holy things. Now when we think of holy things, we think of pure, God-like, holy, clean. You understand what I'm saying? You ever heard somebody say, I'm trying to live clean. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to live holy. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way we're supposed to be. But God said, now my people have mixed the profane, the ugly, the nasty, the dirty, the vile, the stinking, stench, ugly, nasty stuff with the holy and the pure and the godly and the lovely and and the perfect. He said, you're mixing them together. And I'm not going to have that. Now, let me go ahead and tell you this. I know we're all, those of us, and I assume most of you here say, those of us who save, I know we say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And we are that. We are sinners saved by grace. We were born sinners. We couldn't help that. We were born in the similitude of Adam. His blood flows through our vein, and we'll struggle with that. Just like Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul said, till the day we die, we're going to struggle with that. There's a battle goes on in our flesh. But really, though, now we're not sinners. We're saints. We're sons of God. We're children of God, see. God took something that we were profane. And when we accepted Jesus Christ, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So He washed us. That's why we sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so He took us, and spiritually speaking now, He took us and He washed us in that pure, perfect, sinless blood, and now we're pure and we're holy, and as far as God's concerned, spiritually, we're perfect already. Now, our flesh is not. We struggle with this thing. But He still says, be ye holy as I'm holy. He said, no man will see God without holiness. Holy means God-like. We're to be God-like now. We're not gods. We're not perfect. We're not sinless. But that's our goal. That's what we strive to be. And the more you work at it, the better you'll get at it. But now, just like in Israel's day, people are mixing the profane with the holy. What happens when you mix a white sheet with black grease? You ruin the sheet. Oh, but that grease is good stuff. It works on your wheels. Yeah, but it don't work on the sheet. You're mixing something that don't belong there, see? Hey, how many of you would go in there and get you a nice bottle of clear... Where'd that come from? New York City tap water. You don't know where that come from, but it's supposed to be pure, amen? How many of you would take that, and it just rained a while ago, and wouldn't you just love to take that and run outside and get this about half full and just dip it in a mud hole and get the other half in muddy water? No, you wouldn't do that. That would be mixing the pure with the impure, amen? And why wouldn't you do that? That would be dangerous. Ezekiel's revealing the failures of God's leaders and His people. And they'd allowed that pagan culture around them to influence them. And it's no secret, we live in a pagan society today. What was right is now wrong, and what was wrong is now right, and what was good is now bad, and what was bad is now good. And you're a bigot if you're 100% sold out to Christ. You're a religious fanatic if you just wear a cross around your neck or something. And so the pagan, and by the way, it's my generation's fault. We did this. I'm baby boomer. We did this. Our parents, our grandparents had a holier nation, and we took it and sang about wanting to be free. And we took it and sang about love. But what we was really talking about was anarchy and sex. We wasn't talking about real love. We wasn't talking about real freedom. We was talking about anarchy. Everybody does whatever they wants to in their own eyes. And that's what we was doing. And we ruined our society. And now those same people teach in the universities, and they stand in the pulpits of America, and most of them have never been regenerated, never been born again. And they're preaching the same thing now that they did when they were teenagers. And now it's profane what they're teaching. It goes against everything that's God. And then we allow them to influence us because we don't want to look holy. That's exactly it. Christians don't want to look and behave holy, because if you do, then you're going to stand out in that pagan culture, and you're going to be ridiculed, and you're going to be mocked, and you're going to be made fun of, because you want to be holy and the rest of them don't. And that convicts them, and they don't like seeing that nor hearing that. And so they're going to try to make you look less than you really are. And if you let them influence you, then you're going to begin to mix the unholy with the holy. Let me tell you something. Local church is not a social club, but it's supposed to be a holy gathering of holy people worshiping a holy God. A lot of Christians, they're real casual about their church involvement, their church membership, and their church attendance and all that. They act like it's a moose lodge, and you can show up and pay your dues every once in a while, and everything will be okay. But that's not the way it's meant to be. The Moose Lodge is pagan. The Shriners is pagan. The Masons are pagan. Those are not churches. They might be religious, but they're not the church of Jesus Christ. The church means a lot more to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something special to Him. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm not going to read it to you, verses 25 through 27. You know it. It's called the Bride of Christ. It says He loved the church. He died for the church, and He's going to make something special out of His church. One day, it's going to be taken up into heaven, and all believers will be 100% holy and be white as snow as the bride of Jesus Christ. He's making us into something special. We're not supposed to be like the pagan world that's around us. I have people tell me they can't tithe because they can't afford it, but they pay $100 a month for TV service. And they got Hell's Box Office and Sin to the Max and any other funny word I could name them that I can't think of because I don't have them. Showtime. Even regular TV's gotten so bad you can't watch it. Me and my wife got rid of the cable, bought us a $30 antenna. We get three local channels like we did when I was a kid. And if storm comes up, it messes them up. And then you learn how to talk to each other again. We hooked it up to the computer and got Netflix and Hulu so we can pick what we want to watch, and we don't have to watch that old ungodly stuff. I've seen everything Andy Griffith made 10 times by now. I've seen all the old westerns over and over and over. I saw John Wayne the other day do some straightening up of some people. Amen. He straightened up the whole town. Amen. I don't have to live like that. I don't have to listen to that stuff. You ever been sitting there trying to watch something with your kids on TV, and it looks pretty good there for about 5 minutes, then all of a sudden something happens, and now it might be nudity, or it might be a cuss word, just a big old long string of cuss words come out, and you say, whoa! And it's too late to turn it off. They didn't hear it. But the pagan culture is creeping into everything that we're part of in our world. You can't hardly go anywhere, do anything without it affecting what you do. But the local church of all places ought to be a holy place. It means so much to God. Did you know to be involved in a local church is a holy work? I don't care if it's nothing but cleaning up the building, cleanup list. Put your name on there, clean up the building. While you're cleaning up this building, you're walking on holy ground. And you're doing a holy work. You're doing something for God. You're keeping God's house clean. The Bible says it's good to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Good to be an usher, amen? And so this is a holy place. And look, we'll not let the pagan culture come in here.
Amen.
I can tell you the churches that do by their advertisements of who they got coming to sing. If it says it's a holy trio, but they look like the Three Dog Night, something wrong with that picture. Amen? If it says it's the Holy Sisters, but they look like the Harlot Sisters. Amen? But that's what's coming in. They send me stuff to this church all the time, inviting us to sing into the stuff. All I got to do is look at that picture. I said, I ain't sending my people there. I preach against that stuff. Amen? If you got to have black lights and flashing lights and booms and everything else to entertain people, then it's not church. It's not church. It's pagan, see? Did you know that the Bible's not just a decoration? It's a holy thing. A lot of people, most everybody has a Bible. Even growing up, we had a Bible. We never read it. It was just a decoration on the coffee table. I didn't know what that thing was. Nobody ever told me. I know there's some kind of strange pictures in it we'd look at. You know, we had them one with the pictures in it. But most people treat the Bible as an ornament. I see them up in people's back window, their car. They've been riding around in the back window so long that they're faded out, and the pages are all curled up where the wind's been blowing them. You ever see that? That man ain't reading that Bible. I hope the ones I find here, you got one at home. Because if you ain't got one at home, I'm reading your Bible more than you do. I see it every day. Sometimes I'll pick them up just to be mean, and I'll bring them up here and stack them up, and people come in Sunday, what happened to my Bible? I said, I don't know, you been reading it? It's up there. Did you know the Bible says the Bible is profitable for us? It's profitable to make us holy, to make us like God, to make us like Jesus Christ. Now, I read a lot. I'm a reader. Most preachers should be readers. If they're not, they ought not preach. I read a lot. I love history. My daughter took me down to Franklin Delano Roosevelt's little White House in Georgia yesterday, where he went. There was a hot springs down there he would go for his polio. So they built him a little White House, beautiful little place. A politician wouldn't even live in it now. So it's just nothing almost, you know. And boy, I love that stuff. I'd read everything down there. And I love history. But most of all, I love the Bible. I can read the Bible. I can read it several ways. I can read it for the history. I can read it for the general spiritual thought, or I can read it to get me a personal thought. And I read it all those ways. I love the history of the Bible. I love the history of the Bible. And I love the way he's talking to Israel right here. I love the way he's talking to Israel right here. But I also love the way he's talking to me right here.
Amen.
Amen. You can apply it to yourself. Now, serving God, it's not a hobby. It's a holy calling. We had a preacher one time, and I loved the man. I've loved him for years. I've known him for a long time. And I was out one Sunday afternoon. my wife and I took off. You know, we usually stay Sunday morning, but take off Sunday afternoon to go on vacation. And he came in. My daughter called me Tuesday and said, I just need to tell you this. I know you don't like to hear things much on Monday because you're getting over Sunday. He said, but I need to tell you what happened to the preacher Sunday night. He said he didn't show up. He was 20 minutes late or 30 minutes late, something like that. And he said, come running in and said, okay, we can get started now. I'm here. And I called him up. He said, well, I was wondering when you was going to call. I said, look, there's something wrong with this picture. I said, you don't take this as seriously as I do. I said, preaching is a holy calling. And those people didn't sit there and wait on you for 20 or 30 minutes for you to show up late and laugh it off. You ought to got up and apologize and ask them and the Lord forgive you, because this is a holy calling and you're going to stand before God for what you do with people with that calling. I take it seriously. I'm not one of these preachers that treats it like a hobby. It ain't something you spend your spare time on. Serving God's a full-time business. Amen. If you teach Sunday school, it ought to be a holy calling. It ain't something we just stuck you in there to fill in a hole with some little youngins to keep them out of our hair. It's supposed to be a holy calling that you're teaching the holy word to some little children so they can get saved before they fall in the pit that we fell into. Yes. Our worship services are not performances. We don't have any performances around. Billy jokes with me sometimes. He said, well, I guess I'm the B team. Because that same preacher told him one time that there was better singers than him, and he'd get to sing on Sunday night because the better ones sang on Sunday morning. He was going to be the B team. I said, we ain't got but one team around here. Amen? We ain't got but one team. And by the way, I'd rather have a man that's faithful and he's here for the service than to have one with all this so-called pagan talent that only shows up when the spotlight's on. Or offerings being taken. Some of y'all want to know why I don't invite, we don't have singings. I'll tell you why. Because it involves money. Every time it involves money. And you say, well, they just want a love offering. I guarantee if they didn't get the money they liked, they wouldn't come back for the next love offering. Now, and I always thought this too. There's a famous singer. I'm not going to call his name. Some of you would know him. He's got wife and daughters. They sing with him. And one time I called him. I thought he was a friend of mine. I've known him for years and years and years. And I called him. I said, brother, I'd like for you to come. We're having dinner on the grounds. I'd like for you to come and your family. And I'd like for you to sing. And I only want you to sing about 20 minutes. And then I'm going to preach. It's not just singing. I don't believe in having just singing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He said, okay, I'll do it. Now, he's in Kannapolis. I said, well, you know, we're not a big church. I work a big crowd. We might have 250 that day. I work a big crowd, and I'll give you whatever we can, but just give me an idea about what it would cost you to come down here and do that. He said, well, brother, you know there's 8 of us now. And we got a bus, we got all that equipment, we got those other vehicles, and we'll have to come set up and take down. He said, I can't take less than $900. I like this man. I felt God when him and his family sang. I said, and I couldn't help it, I just, $900? He said, that's the least I can take. He said, there's 8 of us in the bus and all this. And I didn't say it out loud, but I thought, you're coming from Kannapolis. You can leave your stinking bus up there riding your Volkswagen or something. You don't have to come down. We got speakers and microphones. We don't need your big show stuff. But I didn't say it. And then I said this. I said, next Sunday we have a special preacher from Alabama. I said, you know how much we paying him to preach one sermon? He said, how much? I said, $100. I said, now, do you think that the Lord would be pleased with me giving you $900 and giving a preacher $100 and he's living his life to preach the gospel and sacrifice his family and his time and his talent and everything else? And you think that you ought to get $900 and me give... I said, forget it. I'll just get 9 preachers. Amen. The church is a holy place. It's not an entertainment place. People say, what you got for our kids? We like your church, but what you got for the kids? I tell you what, we've got a holy Bible. We've got some holy hymns. We've got some holy preaching. We got some holy singing. We got holy Sunday school. We got holy Wednesday night. Hey, we got some good stuff. But if you want me to tell you that we have a basketball team, a bowling league, or a softball team, I'll just tell you, no, that's pagan. And by the way, have you ever been to church league softball team?
Oh, yeah.
They give hand signs, and the umpire don't know what it is. It involves one finger. I've seen them do it. They cuss each other out, man. I've seen them getting fights at the church softball league. You want to know why? You don't have to attend church but one time a month to be a member of the team, and half of them don't even attend that, so you got pagans with Christians, and it turns out wrong every time.
Amen.
We'll probably get firebombed after I said that. Listen, we almost had a church split one time over a ball team. Now, listen, did you know the purpose of our Christian living is not to be entertained, but to have spiritual achievement? Did you know it makes me happier to get something done for the Lord and the Lord's people than it does to sit around and be entertained all day? You know, it would do our kids better to take them to Christian camp where they'll get preached the devil out of them.
Yeah.
Than it would to take them over at that nightclub where those other people's taking theirs to so-called Christian camp. Did you know it would do our kids better to make them get out there and wash cars to raise money to spend on themselves than the church to donate and to give them money to waste? Christian life's not about entertainment. It's about spiritual achievement. It's about spiritual growth. But as always, the attitude's infected a lot of Christians. Remember, profane is ugly, it's dirty, it's nasty, it's filthy, it's vile, it's ungodly, it's without holiness. And then you've got the holy, and the holy is pure, and it's perfect, and it's like God. And you take those two and mix together, what will you ruin? It won't be the profane. It'll be the holy. But preacher, I'll win them to the Lord by doing that. No, you won't. All you're doing is dirtying up the message, and they're not going to think any more of you or the message when you do that. Man told me one time, he said the reason we're losing our young people is because of our music in our church. I said, well, the reason we're losing our young people is because their mom and daddy don't bring them to church. If I had a 14 that looked at me and said, I'm gonna go down here to the hippie church, I don't like that all that preaching and going on, I would say, look, you going with me or die. I mean, that's two choices you got. You're 14 years old, I'll quit feeding you. You'll die. You're 14 years old, I'll put you out in the woods somewhere and tie you to a tree. You'll die. You ain't got no say. You're 14 years old. You don't work. You don't contribute. You got no money. I pay for everything. We're going where I say. And when you get old enough to buy your own way, your own car, live in your own house, eat your own food, then you can do whatever you want to do. And you say, preacher, that's mean. No, that's father-like.
Amen.
The problem with most people is they're so busy trying to please their children, they forgot how to teach their children to be holy. Look, I know it's not popular. Our purpose for living is to let Christ live His life in us. Galatians 2:20, he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Let me tell you something. The day that I was born again, you were born again, God, as far as He was concerned, we were nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ, and we died with Him. We have no past. We only have present and future.
Amen.
Because now we're new creatures in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all the old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Now, that's holiness. I remember I hadn't been saved long. And church I got saved in, they didn't preach against anything. I loved the man. I loved him. But he just preached how to be saved and know it. And that was wonderful. A lot of people got saved. Knew it. Knew it very well. But I remember I'd read the Bible, and I'd read the Bible, and I'd get convicted about things. So whether the preacher preached on it or not, I'd do what the Bible said. So I'm sitting right up here, 1122 Oconee Avenue. I was 20-something years old. Hadn't been saved long. One of my favorite rock groups was called Uriah Heep. Some of you pagans probably know that. Uriah Heep. That was one of my favorite. Yeah. And these people put out an advertisement over here at First Assembly, said that the lead singer, and I used to know his name. I'm glad I forgot all those things, but they said that he had gotten born again and started a Christian band. Amen. 20-something years old, amen. Yeah. I done got one haircut, you know, down there, and now it's up here. I still had Fenders, you know. But I was cool. I was still a little bit cool, you know. I'm going to hear my favorite singer. Went down there, and I thought he was going to be singing different. I went in there. He said, "Let me." And they turned the lights down real low, real dark. Teenagers, teeny boppers everywhere, you know. And they turned the lights down. Here I am, a 20-something year old. I feel like an old man. Church is full of them young ones. And the light has got dark, and then the spotlights come on. And he said, "Let me introduce my band." So this guy comes out, and he looks. Every one of them, there's four of them. They look exactly like his old band. Same clothes, same hairstyle. And he did too. And I was kind of disappointed, but I thought, well, you know, they're Assembly of God, they may be different, you know, I don't know, you know. So I sat there and they started playing, and it was and same music. Sounded like the same songs, they just changed a few words. Every once in a while you'd hear Jesus, God. You know, and I'm sitting there and I am so disappointed. I'm thinking, this is awful. This is awful. They're doing this to these kids. These kids need to be saved out of this stuff. I was saved out of it. And so then they quit singing. This guy comes out and he says, "Everybody bow your head and close your eyes." So we all bow our head and close our eyes. He said, "All right, repeat after me, Jesus." I said, "Jesus." He said, "Say it again, Jesus. Say it again, Jesus. Say it again, Jesus." And pretty soon, all those kids were going, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." That went on for 2 or 3 minutes, just chanting, "Jesus, Jesus." Now, I felt a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. And then he said, "Anybody wants to get saved, come up here." I had not heard any scripture. I'd heard not heard any gospel. There had been no preaching. "If you want to get saved, just come up here and tell Jesus to save you." So a bunch of teenagers running down the aisle. They're not crying. They're chewing bubble gum and blowing bubbles and giggling and laughing. And they run down there and get on the altar. And he says, "Now repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I believe you died for me, and I want you to save me in Jesus' name. Amen." That was about it. He says, "All right, now you're all saved." And they went up back to their seat. No tear, no remorse, no conviction, no conversion. Nothing changed about those kids. Nothing. And I walked out there and I thought to myself, I didn't know this term, but this is what happened. Those people just tried to mix the holy with the profane. And it don't work. You will ruin the holy every time you try to mix it with something else. Now, you can call me a fanatic. You can call me a freak. You can call me a whatever you want to call me. I will not mix the profane with the holy. Amen. We've lost church members over it. We've lost people that would come visit over it. Now, I'm not a legalist. Anybody knows me, I'm not a legalist. I'm not saying you got to do this and believe on Jesus to get saved. I'm not saying you got to believe on Jesus and then do this to stay saved. I'm saying believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I'm saying you can't mix the lost, dirty, vile world with the kingdom of God and not get the judgment of God on you. How many people have I went to visit in the hospital or on their sick bed or on their deathbed, and they'll say, "Preacher, you know, years ago, let me tell you what I did." And they'll tell me how in their life they had been saved and they'd done good, and then something happened and they begin to mix in these things that were not right with their Christianity. Well, preacher, I love her. Well, preacher, I love him. Well, preacher, we love each other. And it was unholy relationships. Well, preacher, I can do this. It won't hurt me. I'm strong. And it was an unholy thing they were doing. And it ended up killing them. When I was a young Christian, they asked me to go to the hospital to sit with a man I had never met, but one time he was dying with cancer. And I was a young preacher, and I was still in my church I got saved in. And I sat there and I learned the story of that man. And even not even being saved 2 years, I thought, this man took his life, and it was a holy life, and he took it back into unholy situations and profaned the name of the Lord. And this is the judgment of God on this man. You think we're better than Israel? That God won't judge us? You think you're better than Moses? That God won't judge you? We've got to be careful. Now listen, we live in a world, but we're not supposed to be part of that world. Not anymore. The Bible calls us aliens. The Bible calls us pilgrims. The Bible calls us strangers and peculiar people. And when the world looks at us, they'll say, "There goes one of them holy rollers." Amen. And I look back at them, I said, "No, you're the holy roller. You're the one that got up Sunday morning, felt so holy, you rolled back over, you didn't go to church." I went. Amen. I went to church. Bless God. Don't be calling me holy roller. You're the one that rolled over and didn't go. You must have felt awful holy. But listen, the world ought to think of us like that. We are strangers. We're supposed to be strange people. Why? Because of holiness, godliness, purity. Can I tell people what y'all fixing to do? They fixing to get married. That's the right thing to do. That's a holy thing to do. And I'm sure they got friends that's done told them, "Well, you've been going down there to that fanatic church and that preacher's got you brainwashed." I'm sure they done said, "Belinda's just done gone crazy and now you're crazy too." You don't need that piece of paper. Hey, we're not going to give you a piece of paper. We're going to give you a holy covenant with God. That paper, you can lose it. You're making holy vows to God. Amen. You young people, y'all go to church and go to school, and all those kids don't go to church. They find out that you go to church and that you try to be a little different. You try to be kind and loving and gentle and obedient, and they make fun of you. Let me tell you something. One day, a million years from now, they won't be making fun of you. They'll be screaming and crying in the bottomless pit, wishing they had went to church with you. The holy and the profane. So if you wait for me to put on a pair of Bermuda shorts and flip-flops and a Hawaiian shirt and come in here and sit on a stool and talk to you instead of preach to you, you might ought to go to church somewhere else. If you're waiting for Uriah Heep to show up here, you're going to wait a heap of days. You might just want to go to church somewhere else. We're not mixing the holy with the profane. We're not going to do it. Not going to do it. And there's so much more I can say on this, Brother Ron. But I've run out of time. And Belinda's already got 6 of them mean faces on her Facebook post already. So, He says, come out from among them, be you separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. And you'll be my people. I want to be His people, don't you?
Yes.
I want to be holy. I want to be holy. I'm far from it. I mean, if you compare me to Him. Now, compared to what I used to be, I'm real close. Compared to what some people are, I'm real close. But compared to what He is, real holiness, I'm far from it. But I want to be. That's my desire. That's my dream. And one day I'll see Him as He is. And I'll be like Him. Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God, the Holy Bible.